Hello, everybody, and welcome to the fourth episode of Choir Podcast. And today I have another guest, Rachel Wangchuk, with me, and I'll be your host, Sang Yolore. So would you like to introduce yourself again, Rachel?
Hi. Oh, voice crack. Hi. My name is Rachel Wangchuk, and I am 21 years old. My pronouns are any pronouns, speaking, and I identify as pansexual.
Okay, Rachel. So first of all, would you like to define that identity?
Pansexuality is basically you liking someone not based on their appearance or what they identify as, but solely, mostly based off of their personality.
Yeah, that's really nice. And that's, I think, that's quite an interesting identity because it brings out a lot of perspectives, and you're not actually looking at their bodies or their gender, but you're looking more beyond that.
Yes.
How does it feel being a pansexual in the society? Like, I've seen very few, so how does it feel?
I think there's only a few, like, a few people that have come to conclusions with the fact that they are pan, and a lot of people are still in denial, you know, like just the regular stuff. So I do feel like, you know, we are like a small minority among all the sexualities out there. So yeah, and you know, it's, I would say it's pretty nice though. I do get a lot of questions about it, you know, and I'm like, I do get a lot of pan jokes, you know, pots and pan jokes, kitchen jokes. I get a lot of that. Yeah, I would say it's pretty nice.
So, like, since you're pan, you're also part of the LGBTIQA+ community. So,
yes.
How do you find the Bhutanese society as part of that community?
You know, ever since that decriminalization, a lot of people have come forward. And a lot of people are out and proud, and we love that for them. You know, we love that for us. It's been a tough journey for queer folk all around the world. You know, I personally think that Bhutan, as a conservative country, coming to terms with the fact that, you know, being queer is not a crime, and being queer is completely normal. I personally think that that is great strides in how life will, you know, be in a few years in the future.
Yeah, that's actually great news for all of us. Yeah. So yeah, it's very positive stuff that Bhutan is taking forward. But what do you think, could you spill the tea on some of the things that you feel bad about, you know, in society?
I think, obviously, a lot of people are still scared, and I am out and proud, but, you know, it was just like, for me, it was not that special. It was just like, oh, yeah, I'm this. Nothing special, but for a lot of people, they are still closeted, and there's a lot of people that are closeted, actually. And, you know, I find that coming out is a really tough thing for a lot of people. So that's, and it's really special to them, right? For me, it wasn't really special, but for a lot of people, it is. And, you know, I'm not undermining that, but I find the process of coming out really tiring, to be honest. Like, I don't think you need to come out. I think people should accept you the way you are without you having to tell them, you know, like, hey, I'm gay, but then, like, I don't think you should be. It should be, like, the other way around. Hey, we accept you for who you are, no matter what you identify as or no matter what you do, you know? Because I love you as a person and not you as this, you know? I feel that way. I feel like coming out is very burdensome for everyone, and I feel like we shouldn't do it anymore. That's my personal opinion on it, right? That's one thing I don't like, that everyone has to think that, oh, if I come out, they're going to hate me and stuff like that, right? So there's a lot of, like, pressure that comes with coming out, so I don't like that. Personally, and there's a lot of closet people in Bhutan, so, you know, scales. And the other part is, I personally feel like there is still a stigma, obviously, around being queer. And I feel like Bhutan's education system could do a bit more. Not even a bit more, a lot more, actually. They should start in small steps, but I feel like integrating people of color, no, people of different sexualities into education is a great way to start, to be honest. And starting from the young, although I know that, you know, like the old age saying of people, like the saying that goes, oh, old people, you know, are hard to change. That's why we need to start from the young, so they don't grow up with the mentality that we have, like most of the people in Bhutan have, right? Like, start young, teach them about this. People are conservative with this, right? Like talking about sexuality. We don't even get taught about this until like high school, right? Like sexuality, like sex ed. That doesn't get talked about at all. So I personally feel that we need to get rid of that mentality and start young. Teach them about this. Queer history. Yeah.
So yeah, you talked about people being scared to come out. So why do you think that even if our country, you know, has decriminalized the code and we're not illegal anymore, why do you think people are still scared of coming out?
They're afraid of judgment, right, at the end of the day. And they don't want to be an outcast, right? Because obviously in their heads, they think that if I come out, I am going to ruin all of the connections I have right now, and I will be lonely and sad and be different. And obviously that can happen. You can be not accepted by your parents or your friends. And yeah, I think that is why people are scared of coming out, right? There's a lot of pressure with coming out, and I don't think anyone should be subjected to that. So that's why I feel like we should normalize being queer. You know, I mean, why don't people come out as straight? Hey, I'm straight. Like, no, but they don't do that. It's normalized. I feel like we as a community need to like build it up this way. Like, hey, you're gay, but it's normal. I don't have to come out to you. Like, it's not your business, right? So I feel like it should be that way. And people coming out is hard.
Yeah, because before I came out, I came out to this friend, and you know how you're still closeted, so you come out to a few friends. So yeah. I told my friend, you know, maybe I should come out. And she said, you don't have to do that. It's not a necessity. Because you can just like that. You don't have to have this huge celebration. But for me, I just wanted that from my individual perspective. But that's what I wanted. I believe that there are many perspectives to which we can choose to come out and identify ourselves as. So yeah. So I think that's a very interesting point that you pointed out. So what do you think that society really needs, you know, to bring forward that open-mindedness towards the society, towards the LGBTIQA+ community? So what do you think that what are the steps and what are the measures, what are the requirements that the society needs?
Like I said, start young, to be honest. Like, people here have this mentality that, oh, people, you know, people in, like, older people don't get it, but I don't think that's necessarily true. However, I feel like starting young, actually integrating queer history, queer, like, just education in our curriculum, you know, that would be a great step towards actually normalizing being queer. And, you know, I feel like films help a lot. You know, I think if they're in Bhutanese films, I feel like people that are, you know, queer are made fun of, and they are added as gag characters that make people laugh. And I feel like we should move away from that concept and actually make a story, you know, like an actual film about being queer in Bhutan, like an actual, like, story, everything. And if you show it to everyone and you spread it around, people will come to understand that, you know, maybe it is normal, because people look up to actors and actresses, right? So yeah, I feel films will help. And also, like, a lot more advocacy, like, shows on BBS and stuff, because people watch BBS a lot, I would say. So a lot more, like, you know, maybe a queer talk show, just like how we're doing right now, but on national television. I personally feel like that would help.
Yeah, I think that's right, because the national media outreach has a huge influence on the viewers, especially the
people
who, you know, kind of depend on it. They tend to be influenced by that a lot. And how you said, I remember a few moments ago that I was comparing, you know, the, what do you call it, how the community is represented here and in other parts of the world. So here I saw what you said as a gag, and we're used as a mode of comedy. We're being mocked at, but outside we're used as a kind of personality type, where, you know, we have our sass, we have our personality. So that's how we're represented around, like in different parts of the world. But when it comes to our country, we're represented in a way that's a bit of mockery towards our community, and it does not actually encourage people or LGBT individuals to come out, because they're afraid that the same mockery will be targeted towards them. You believe then? Yeah, I do connect with what you're saying.
Yes, yes. Because people make fun of, like, you know, it's like bullying happens in schools, right? So if we take out the whole idea of, oh, being queer is a bad thing, through film representation and stuff like that, I feel like younger kids will understand that bullying, that is normal, and that they don't need to bully someone for being different, because obviously everyone gets bullied for being different, right? So I think we should just remove that stigma.
Yeah. And before, you talked about, you know, kind of introducing more sex education, gender studies at, you know, more at a younger level. So right now it's a bit stigmatized and not normal to kind of share conversations around that. So what would you kind of tell them, you know? How would you kind of pass on the topic or conversation that those need to be brought? What are the steps that they need to take, you know, to kind of normalize sex education, that the requirement of sex in the countries like that? And they need to put these steps forward to normalize and to make younger people feel more comfortable with their skin and on their own body. So how would you, what are the steps that you would say, what are the requirements, which are, would you say?
I think it's always a good idea to start small. I don't think it's always like, I don't think you need to go full scale, you know, like change the whole thing. But I think being subtle, like, hey, in children's books, just adding a family with two dads, you know, or two moms. Maybe make a children's book about, hey, this guy confessing to another guy, or this girl confessing to another girl. Starting small and giving the idea that, hey, it's okay to be attracted to the same sex, right? Because I feel like children's books don't have enough queer representation either. So yeah, I think that starting small with subtle ways is always helpful. And whenever, you know, teachers make examples, you know, they could maybe just like throw a bit of queerness in there, you know? It's like, hey, Doji has two moms, and, you know, like, no, something math problem. I feel like you can always start small and, like, you know, make it normal. Like, just integrate it, like, somehow, right? I don't think you need to always be like, hey, you know, like, I don't think advocacy should be done like that. I feel like, you know, small steps with our younger audience, who has a very, like, you know, like, I feel like if we do that, the younger generation will become a bit more open-minded, and it will give rise to a better generation in the future, right? Like, changes. This is how changes are made. Even us, you know, back then a lot of things were bad, right? But now with us, a lot of them are normalized.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, they did that with us in a way. And I feel like we should do the same with, you know, kids. Just change a bit, like, just bring subtle changes to how they are brought up. And magic.
Yeah. Yeah, I think subtlety in how they bring the changes, like taking one step at a time, as you just said. I think that's going to be really encouraging and exposing the children, you know, okay, so these are the possibilities in your future. So these, you can take into consideration. So these, the things like this can exist because for us, I think, though we're in the, at a much progressed society, it's still, there's a lot of needs, you know?
Yep.
So when we were not exposed to those kind of things, and now we have to explore it from square one, and things are getting a bit confusing.
Yes.
We will have, you know, time to experience and kind of, I don't know, have our own experiences, explore our sexualities within us. So I think that's a really important aspect that you put out. So apart from decriminalization and the things and the positive things that have taken place in the country, what else do you think that Bhutan has achieved that is positively impacted the community?
With a lot more, you know, like with Queer Voices of Bhutan and Pride Bhutan working together with a lot of high ranking officials, I feel like they have made a lot of strides towards changes in Bhutan. I personally find, you know, I don't really find Bhutan that, how do I say it, queer friendly. You know, I mean, obviously you're not going to be thrown in jail or like something like that, right? And you're not, I feel like, funny story actually related to that. I was reading, it was a TikTok about Baktang, right? And then I was going through the comments, as I do. And then I saw a comment where it was like, hey, is Bhutan friendly for queer tourists? And a lot of people said yes, actually, in the comments. And I do agree with that. I don't think, you know, you are going to face stigmatization if you pull up with your husband, you know? So I do feel like Bhutan is kind of good in that way that, you know, like they will judge, but I feel like it's not like in your face. So maybe it's a bit subtle, the judgment, and it's kind of ingrained in our heads, but however, they won't show it. Maybe that is one good thing about Bhutan, is that they don't really say it to your face. I don't know. I feel like that was really backhanded. I'm sorry.
No. I think that's actually true. And for me personally, I don't know if this is the right way to say it, but I don't think Bhutan has progressed, you know, since the past. But I feel like it's not in the phase of acceptance, but more in the phase of neglect. You know?
Yes, I agree with that.
So they pretend, like, okay. Yeah. So they're like, there's people like that, buski buska, bungi bunga, and they're like, but they're like, oh, so that's normal as long as they're not next to me, so it's okay. So that's not acceptance. That's no more.
Yes, yeah. Yes. People think that, like people, oh. That is their, you know, it's better than something. I'm going to say that, like, hey, like, obviously that's not the best. Oh, that's really bad, but like still better than nothing. You know, they're afraid that, oh my God, they pretend that being gay is a disease. Yeah. Like, oh my God, as long as you don't do that gay shit to me, bro. Like, that is not how this works. That is not how this works. As long as you don't, like, this is not how that works. You are born with it. are born with it.
Yeah, but I think I am a bit happy that we've progressed this far, but to see that, you know, where we've reached is not enough, you know? There's still so much more we can do to encourage the society. So yeah, I do feel that way.
You know, like, currently, also one thing, like, I don't know, something about like, if girls hold hand and walk on the street, it's okay, but when guys do it, it's just like frowned upon. I don't know what's with that. Sexism also does play a part in, you know, queer culture and queer like studies. So I do feel like right now, if you do hold hands with someone and you walk down the street, you will get a lot of head turns. So I personally think that they need to mind their own business and stop judging.
Yeah, I think that's actually an important point, because if those in power, those who have actually has a lot of influence on, if they were able to bring these conversations forward, then that would be an enormous step taken.
Yes.
Because people will be, like, okay, so they're having these conversations, so it's normal, because that's a huge normalization taking place in the whole country. So I really connect with what you said. So yeah.
Oh, I think one thing that is stopping development is religion. As blasphemous as it may seem, people use religion as an excuse. So I would like to direct your eyes to a Song Sakyanse Rinpoche video. In Bhutan, yes. He talks about being queer, and he is a Rinpoche. He touched upon that subject, and in a very important way, and he full of wisdom, by the way. Song Sakyanse Rinpoche, I respect him a lot. The fact that he was the first, almost like one of the few people of the religious body to touch upon this subject. Pretty important, but people don't know about this. So I feel like this is pretty important. There is a video on YouTube, and it's called Song Sakyanse Rinpoche about homosexuality and Buddhism, and you should go watch it. And I feel like that is also one of the steps, coming to conclusions that being gay is fine in the eyes of religion. Because technically being alive is bad, so might as well make some use of it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right. So yeah, I think I will surely watch that video, and I think the viewers here should also watch the video, because I think that's an interesting perspective. Religious, speaking, something that has been frowned upon for a long time, brings a new perspective into the areas, and I'll make sure to watch that video. So yes, before we end the podcast, do you have any questions? And do you have any comments or anything you would like to add or express?
Fun fact, that video is actually it was 7 years ago. So just saying, our Song Sakyanse Rinpoche is that. He's that full of wisdom. And I revere him for that. The utmost reverence for our Song Sakyanse Rinpoche. So I do urge you to check it out. Shout out to my friend who did send me that video. Thank you for that. But yeah.
So anything else?
And yeah. So, okay. Last minute advice to everyone. Or just like a general tip. Keep an open mind. We won't hurt you. We're just normal human beings. And I don't think you should ever... I think you, as a person, should care about their personality and how they present themselves as a human being, instead of, oh, he's gay, he's bad. No. Think more. And think in a less Neanderthal way. Okay?
And thank you so much, everyone, for listening here. And thank you to Lynn Rachel Wong, a very proud and loud pansexual individual from the community. Thank you so much for your time. And yes, like, comment, and subscribe. And stay tuned for more queer conversations. Thank you.